What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, hashtag POP for episode 2. It's the month of December, and we're coming at you with all things Newberry Wrestling. Got my man Jake Elkins here with us. 2012 graduate of Newberry College and a two-time All-American. We'll get into all of that a little bit later, but super excited to have him on the podcast today. Also, right next to me is your man.
Brian Bland, associate head coach here, and just a quick note on Jake. He's not just here to join us for the podcast, and again, we'll get on some more of this later, but he's running his club down in Alabama crushing. We're trying to soak up a little bit of that for ourselves, so we'll talk about that more later, but Jake's full of great stuff.
Awesome, awesome. Before we get started, also, I want to talk about the podcast and where you can find it. So it's everywhere you can find podcasts, on Apple Music, on Spotify. If you are on Spotify, all you have to do is look up Inside the Den, and you'll see the Newberry logo, and then you can find it from there. On Apple Music, it's going to be under Newberry Podcast Hub, and then obviously on our website, you can go find it under our sports network as well. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk about this King Duel, Coach.
Well, started off with a bit of a bang that we weren't really expecting. Evan Kerrigan came out of the gates, and if we backtrack a week from that, he had been able to beat Billings after Billings had beat Shoop. So we gave Kerrigan the nod to start that one, and then Kerrigan came out of the gates and didn't just beat him but stuck him. So that was huge.
Yeah.
And then Timmy Decatur, I mean, he's been on fire ever since.
His concussion issue.
Yeah, he buzzed his head early, might have knocked some sense into him, but he's been on a tear.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he has been on a tear. He looked really good against a pretty talented kid. I mean, me and you both have some experience coaching that 133-pounder and Preston Soriano, so I did not expect that the dominant victory that he had over him, but it was definitely good to see. Devin Moore was also impressive going against, you know, number 3 Christian Small in the country. You know, beat Isaiah Royal last year, who was a national champ for us. I definitely did not expect that match to be, you know, I think we were tied going into the second period, gave up a last minute takedown there, and wrestled really tough against a guy that's a hammer on top. So was super impressed with that. And then everyone else kind of did their job going through there. And then one other match to note would have been Brandon Dickman.
Yeah, Dickman, he was a late addition to the lineup, kind of like, hey, we need you this week, because last minute found out Caleb Haven had a wedding he was supposed to be in. He's normally our starter. So Brandon Dickman got the call, showed up, got, I believe, a first period fall.
He did.
By tilt.
A roll through tilt.
Let's go. Come on now. Let's go.
So we got turned up there a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him in for the technique session later. I got to pick this up.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that was awesome. And unfortunately, that duel, it did come down to heavyweight, and we didn't get it done. But that kind of takes me into the next day. I don't know whether we got jolted into, you know, knocking some sense into our head for that next day, but a completely different team showed up for the King Open that next day. And just a quick snapshot of that, I think we had 14 pins on that afternoon with 6 tech falls with all the guys that we took. Speaking of the highlights from that, let's talk about Nico DiAgostino.
Oh man, Nico was just handing out plane tickets left and right and sending people on rides. He was in the semifinals against a ranked D1 guy, I believe, and 12 seconds in launched him to his back. I about knocked you out of your chair. I was like, oh my God. And I think he had him stuck, but it didn't get called. He didn't quite get that one done, but that was a very exciting run to watch him on.
Yeah, yeah. No shade to Nico, but you know, when you see him, he certainly is unassuming. So, you know, it was just so funny to see him launch those guys on their head. And you had a crazy weekend too, because a lot of people don't know, Coach actually drove the team to King, to Bristol, and then drove back for his daughter's state championships in cheerleading, right?
Right, all the way back to Columbia. They won, so Chapin Eagles, 5A cheer state champs.
Yep. And then drove back in the same night when you brought Caleb
and Haven picked up Caleb Haven from the wedding and took him back.
Right. So
wow. All right. Commitment, dog. Oh, capital yeah. C.
When we got back home, I did the math. I spent like 14 straight hour or 14 hours of the weekend in a car. So it was.
Yeah. You were feeling it when you got back.
Absolutely.
Another point to note, Shoop, he avenged that loss with Billings. He took an L to Billings at NC State when we were there for the Wolfpack Open. He got caught in a cradle and in a scramble type situation. So we always knew that the gap wasn't as big as that match had indicated. But it was exciting to see him go out and revenge that loss. And I tell you, man, we got some stuff to figure out at 125, because both of those guys have been competing really well. And just to see who that guy's going to be there. there. It's nice to have that depth, but it's the same kind of deal, again, with Rice and Bodie. You know, Bodie went out there and took a tough loss in the duel when we really needed the win, but then went out and beat that guy, Tydarius Kelly, at heavyweight the very next day.
To get into the finals. So there was a good bit riding on that match. So it's not like he, you know, it's not like it was a match that didn't matter. He went in to earn a spot in the finals by beating him. So he definitely showed up there. But and then back to the Kerrigan Shoup situation, you know, Shoup came back with an answer. And then I know we'll get into it here in a minute, but then Shoup drops a tough one against Queens and maybe opens – I'm sorry, Kerrigan drops a tough one against Queens, maybe opens the door. I'm not sure, but – good problems to have is that we have that depth, but yeah, we do have some decisions to make, and we got some guys need to step up and start separating themselves for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that, you know, separates, you know, decent teams and good teams from being great teams. I mean, y'all remember when we were here.
Amen. Man. I was just about to say, I was like, it's a good time. It's a good thing to have.
Yeah, depth is a good thing.
It sucks if you're that guy, but, like, it's really good for the program, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Absolutely. I mean, every year I feel like there was a guy brought in to take my spot.
dude. You know? It kind of got sold that way, too. It was like, dang, I got to be training. Apparently, this dude's coming in pretty real, you know? So. Yeah.
But iron sharpens iron, man. It makes you better.
Yeah.
Caleb Spears had an awesome day. He had a really, really awesome day. Wrestled well, got to the finals, lost to a really tough kid from NC State. But, you know, Mr. Consistent is what I like to call him. Some of the best technique on our team, on his feet, and most consistent technique, always able to get to his stuff. And so we definitely look towards him for leadership as far as that goes.
And really just setting the tone. Like you said, showing that, you know, if you work hard and you do the right things, you're in the room. He's in there with me most mornings, getting some extra work in, working on technique. So really showing that level of consistency can be had just by doing the right things. And that goes a long way with the team as young as we have.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving on to Queens, you know, we took a tough loss to King. We took a tough loss to Belmont Abbey, but we picked it up finally for that Queens duel, which I was excited about. Obviously, I felt like I had a monkey on my back here just starting in October trying to get that first win as the head coach. But it was super exciting to go out there, and we didn't just win, but we dominated. Kerrigan went out, took a tough loss to number 13, Melvin Rubio, who was out last season, I believe, due to an injury. So in our region, when you think about it, 25 is kind of stacked up.
It really is. We got the returning national runner-up, Shoup, who
– qualifier.
Qualifier who really kind of had him beat, yeah. Daggett beat in the regional finals until he gave up a late turn. Kerrigan, who's kind of showing out. Riley Billings, who's a returning national qualifier as well. And then Rubio, who wasn't even factored into that equation, and now he's back in the mix. It's a lot.
Yeah, that's fun. It's going to be a little dogfight there at 125. Yeah.
Sort it out, boys.
Yeah.
Find out.
I like it. And then during that, so he came out, he took a tough loss against Kerrigan, but then Timmy Decatur came out on fire doing Timmy Decatur things and picked up the third period fall, which was exciting. Probably one of both of ours, our favorite parts of that match was Chopek shushing the crowd.
Yeah, he might have stepped a bit over the line with a couple things, but I did like the little bit of swag and a little bit of that chippiness that he brought. And when it got chippy, the crowd was very much against him. And about 5 seconds later, he sticks the guy and tells them all to be quiet. Yeah. So it was definitely an amped up moment for sure.
Yeah. I like to call it edge. You need a little bit of
edge.
Dude,
you got to have a little bit of that. You got a little swagger in the game, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, that'll pay off well. If you got some ice in your veins like that, you know, that'll pay off at NCAA. So.
Oh, definitely.
No doubt.
And he's super talented, and that's a whole other situation we could talk about. It's just the depth of talent we have in that 41-49 range, which is another good thing to have. But moving on, you know, Talon Sites is a transfer for us from Nebraska Kearney. Got a tremendous amount of experience under his belt, and he's just kind of been chomping at the bits to get in there. So we were excited for him to make his debut finally. And he came out and got a dominant 9-2 win over his opponent, and you know we see it all the time in practice, you know what he's capable of. So I'm excited to see him knock that rust off and really start to put it on opponents the way we see him put it on our best guys in the room,
right? And we talk about all the time, you know, all the different skills you can have. Winning is a skill, and just kind of having that match atmosphere and going through that is almost a bit of a skill too, just going out and managing that actual match day experience. And so for him, I think that's where most of the rust lies. Because seeing him in the room, it ain't with his technique. So
correct.
That should hopefully come along very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, like, can we talk about how pinned Will Evans had his opponent. I mean, I don't think you could be any more pinned. And obviously, I got a little stake in the game with our pin pool. I guess we do. But, I mean, he had the guy flat. I don't know how many times you got to put the guy on the back.
The guy's nickname should have been Pancake. And it was, yeah. I don't know what the ref was looking for, but I'm pretty sure we could all see whatever it was.
Yeah. I think he was trying to give Queens a little love after that last match at 49.
Yeah,
I blame Chopek.
Stevie's fault.
Yeah. But cool. Before we move on to get into this interview with Jake, I just want to give a shout out to Huntington out in Alabama. One of our other alumni, Matt Oliver, is out there crushing it, doing some good things in Alabama. Actually,
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. They just, I say that in solidarity, not actually.
In solidarity.
Yeah, not actually because I'm an Alabama fan.
Weren't you born in Tuscaloosa?
I was.
Roll Tide.
But not an Alabama fan. But anyway, so shout out to Matt. They just added women's wrestling. That's one of the fastest growing college sports ever, women's wrestling, right now at this current moment. And so it's exciting to see them, especially at a D3 school in the South, add that. I think it's awesome for the sport, and I think it's awesome to see the growth. So shout out to Matt Oliver for that.
He's doing a heck of a job down there, man. Really, it was cool to see, again, a teammate of ours, right, alumni, all the things. He's doing a great job down there and growing the program in an area where there was – zero wrestling at that level, and so it's a super uphill battle. It's hard to turn that ship around and get a sail in the right direction, but he's doing a good job, man. So it is cool to see.
You got to get in there and give him some of those ironclad methods, man.
Yeah, dude. We've been down there working on him a couple times. He's got some guys coming in. We got a couple guys on the squad too.
Nice.
Yeah, matter of time.
Now, is that
just to segue into that? Just a brief background, and we'll get into a little more specific, but. You got a unique perspective on that because you're right there in that neck of the woods. So Jake is from Alabama, lives currently still in Alabama, right up the road from Matt, and obviously involved there like he's involved here. So, you know, there's that connection, and that's why you have such valuable and specific insight, you know. So definitely something to be said about that.
Yeah,
super cool, dude. It's I mean, again, there's a lot of college wrestling in South Carolina, you know. If it's in South Carolina, why is it not in Alabama? That's kind of what I'm like. Right. I'm like, listen, this works really well right down the road. You know, like, we got to get this going. And so, man, it's you know, yeah, it's tough being the lone program like that down there. And, you know, it sucks for travel budgets and all the things that you know, there's some of that goes on here even, you know. So,
yeah.
But in spite of all those things, I think he's doing a really good job. So, it's definitely cool. Exciting, all right? Obviously, the growth of women's wrestling and all that, but. Yeah, good to see your homie, your teammate doing well, you know. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's just cool to see him leading, and as being kind of one of the younger guy in the group, you know, coming out of high school, having looking up to you guys wrestling. It's exciting to just see him take his knowledge as a wrestler, because I know how dirty that dude was in college. You know?
I tell everybody, I'm like, listen, y'all don't understand. This old schmooch over here was tough. Boys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Talk about mean. He was mean. Yeah. And I think he took, what did he take, third as a yep. freshman? True freshman?
Took third as a sophomore.
Okay. Yeah.
And
he tore his ACL three times in college.
So yeah. I remember that match. He had his head taped up this way, his nose taped up, and then taped up again this way to keep it all in place.
Nice. Well, yeah, we kind of already introduced Jake Elkins here. Like I said, 2012 graduate, two-time All-American at heavyweight. Definitely slimmed down a little bit since you've been in college, not heavyweight anymore. But first, before we get started, congrats, man, on the engagement.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, man. Exciting.
Tell us a little bit about that. How long have y'all been together? Kind of walk us through that.
Man, so we've been together a little less than a year now, which is kind of scary. A little alarming. I'd say I figured it out fast. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, like, when you know, you know.
I can't leave her running around on the streets. Dude. She's a rock star, man. She loves and supports what I do, which is a huge thing, right? If you're going to be doing what we do, you got to have that kind of support at home. She's a rock star. I've known her for a really long time. And I honestly just thought she would never put up with my shenanigans, you know. And then at the point that I realized I talked her in, I was like, I gotta make this permanent, you know. Nice. So, yeah, man, she's a rock star. So thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of your shenanigans, talk to us a little bit about kind of just your path from Newberry College. We already kind of mentioned some of your accolades here, but maybe share a little bit about your experience and then kind of what your transition was from here at Newberry to Alabama and your vision for Ironclad and how you got into all of that.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, being in Newberry was an incredible thing. I always tell people, I'm like, man, it was such a special time when you look at number one recruiting classes that we had, and I mean, just like the sheer talent that was in that room, you know. And I mean, quite literally iron sharpening iron, and we just beat the brakes off each other every single day. You didn't, you know, you really just kind of had to like dangle a carrot out there, and you know, if we all got in the pen together, like it was going to sort itself out, you know. And really just a crazy thing when you think about it, kind of from when you step back a little bit and see what the program was like then. And it was, I mean, it was a grind, you know. I would say a lot of overtraining, really. I mean, to a fault, we trained hard.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's a lot of good that came out of that too, you know. And so finishing up, it was incredible getting to go home. I kind of always felt like the calling to go home and you know, try to create a better way for the guys that came up. I mean, we, you know, when I think about however good I thought I was at 18, like, I really didn't know very much, you know. I was just willing to suffer more than other people, and I just kind of – I really had this vision, this belief in there being, like, a better way and trying to create an opportunity for kids to have – more kids to have access to quality training and access to the right information. You know, we were working out earlier today with the team, and I kind of told that same story that, hey, listen, man, like, you know, I was told that hard work was everything, and I believe that it is, but, you know, you got to be doing the right things. You know, there's a yeah. guy digging with a shovel who's – over there, and there's a lot of sweat rolling off his brow, and you know, he's making something per hour, and then there's a guy sitting on the backhoe with a cigarette and a coffee, and they added the zero to his paycheck per hour. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's making 10 times the money.
Work hard, work smart.
Yeah, they don't just pay you for hard work, which is kind of been the battle cry of wrestling, right? The Dan Gable culture, which again is valuable, right? Not to discredit, but they pay you for productivity. They don't pay you for work. Right. So the sweat of your brow is fine, but like how much, you know, let's make sure that you were making progress as well.
Yeah.
And so, so I just believed in finding, and I was trying to do that when we went home and shed some light on some of those things, and really kind of started this crazy journey where I just was obsessed with like, what is the best way? Like, okay, yeah, like this person says it's this way and he says it's that way. Everybody had their own way, but when you like, what is the way, you know? And so one day we, you know, I had the privilege to coach with a guy who had a lot of wisdom. I learned a lot of things for him, things to do, things not to do. And 2016, so I was part of the national teams and did all the things, whatever. In 2016, started my own program called Ironclad. And so we've been doing that since. And, man, it's just been really freaking awesome. I mean, literally just, you know, thousands of experiments on these ideas, you know, and inevitably, we've been really, really blessed, really fortunate, had a lot of success, amazing support out of just families who have just bought in. And I tell a lot of them now, you know, I mean, you guys have some of them wrestle on your team, you know, and when I talk to their parents, I say, hey, listen, I appreciate you buying in and believing before there was really fruit on the tree. You know, it's like we said that we were doing this, but there really weren't any apples on the tree yet. And y'all believed anyway. So it was yeah, it's been really cool, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we speak about those apples. I mean, it's not like you're just taking a talented kid who's at a local school and he comes and wins another state title. I mean, we're talking about real success. I mean, you've got a world silver medalist.
Yeah, man. So, it was pretty wild experience. I kind of shared that story this morning. I was like, hey, redneck from Alabama sitting, you know, Matt's side. In Budapest, in the world finals of Greco-Roman,
yeah, that's
and
awesome.
Nobody around you speaks English, like, you know, they, much less Southern dialect, you know, like, so.
I bet they thought your accent was cool.
Yeah, long ways from home, you know, you're talking to these guys and you're trying to figure out what they're saying, and they're like, "Where are you from? New York?" You know, you're like, "Nope." They're like, "Oh, L.A." And you're like, "Nope." And I'm like, "The South, like, you know, Atlanta." They're like, "Oh, Atlanta." You're like, "Yeah, well, like, way away from there, way smaller, really, you know, like." You never been there.
Have you seen the Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah, like it's a long ways, dude. Like, so man, yeah, it's just really a bizarre thing. I mean, I had a lot of moments, like kind of like emotional moments, standing in the tunnel of like, wow, you know, God, like I can't believe we're here. You know, it's crazy, and the journey. You know, I think about like my time in Newberry and stuff. Like, I wouldn't have ever had some of those experiences and maybe pursued. Those conclusions, I guess, right, or had some of those ideas. I wouldn't have been standing there without that time in Newberry, you know. And so, really grateful for. I mean, I don't know how many. I stayed up last night with Bryant till 4 a.m. We were talking wrestling, man, philosophies and ideas, and you know, we did that 500 times, you know, but in yeah. our time together. So, yeah, it's really awesome, man. It's cool to been like I said, been really fortunate, but really grateful for. kind of the ties here to Newberry, man, and the success. And it's cool to be back up here and just rub shoulders, see the program right now, man. It's really freaking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we believe in that, what you guys are doing, what you're doing down there in Alabama too, or else we wouldn't have you come up here and run these two sessions. So Jake's actually in town. Initially this was supposed to be like a Skype in kind of interview, we're gonna chat it up, but you know, he hit me up and he was like, hey, why don't I just come down and kind of walk the team through some of this stuff. And we follow him pretty closely on social media, so I was like, that'd be awesome. We wanted to get you on the podcast anyway, so we can knock out two birds with one stone kind of deal. And it's been awesome. We had a good session this morning, kind of talked through some theory and things like that, and then at 2 we're going to go hit it again on the mat and actually walk through some of this stuff in terms of what they do at Ironclad. How can get, just not to be plugging your club so much, but if somebody does want to kind of go look up Ironclad, what should they do?
Dude, at Ironclad Wrestling on literally all social media platforms, ironcladwrestling.com, Ironclad Methods, go check it out, dude. Yeah, if you're on that struggle bus, I will make a plug. If you're on that struggle bus and trying to learn the way, go check it out, Ironclad Methods, man. Like, there's we're creating resources for people that are in the wrestling community and got a little doubt that, like, maybe that guy knows something I don't, or you're tired of getting sauced up because you know that you don't know.
Right.
So go check it out, dude. That's what it's for.
Yeah, and I just love it because it's, like you said, how many times are you going to yell at a kid to work harder before you actually – look at what the issue is at hand? You know, a kid struggling at bottom because he can't get out of the leg right. Well, if he would have stood up, he would have got up already. So when are we gonna stop yelling, work harder, and work through some of these mechanics and these X's and O's and take a more critical thinking approach to it? So I love it because I think that's kind of the foundation of what you're doing, and I think it's the future of wrestling. So I appreciate it, man. Keep it up.
Absolutely, man.
So, yeah, next thing we got coming up, it's a really barn burner. Y'all remember the Midwest Classic, right?
Call it, baby.
Was there once or twice.
Call it, yeah, dude.
So, usually, I mean, I think traditionally if you place out there, you know, statistically, I'd love to see the numbers ran on what you're placing at the national tournament.
There's got to be a strong correlation.
Yeah.
Strong
without
correlation.
Question.
Like,
yeah. So, for sure, I always tell the guys, you know, we try to peak 2 times in the season. That's one of them. You want to kind of hit that first peak there and then come back, regroup, look at some things, and then peak again in March. And so that's definitely what we're trying to do now. Shoot, part of the reason we got you here to kind of help us look at things through a different lens. And going out there, rank our team as we go into the Midwest Classic. It's the 42nd Midwest Classic. Last year, technically, was the 41st, but we didn't have it because of COVID. So I guess we really haven't had it since, what, 2019 then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go into that rank number 20.
That's so weird. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. That's just so bizarre. I'm like placing. Wait, hold on. When, yeah. Did we go? Did we not? Like, man, isn't that just the craziest thing? It's so hard to.
If you want to know a crazier story, we actually have two 2011 Midwest Classic Champion trophies because it was at one point a January tournament. And that was the year they moved it to December.
Nice. That's a fun fact, actually.
Yeah, that is.
So, yeah, we're headed out there, ranked number 22 on Intermat right now. Really excited just to see some tough competition that's outside of our region. Last year, I got the numbers actually pulled. I didn't write them down because I just didn't, and I got it right here. But actually on Twitter, just in 2019, some of the teams, the top three finishers were McKendry, UCO, and Tiffin. Those teams traditionally go, and we went in 2019. We had placers, Spears placed that year, Isaiah Royal placed that year, and so did
Zabrandon
Gant. He placed as well. So excited to go out there and show out. Right after that, give the guys a couple days off for Christmas break. I think we get 6 days off. They head back the day after Christmas, and then we're training for National Duels out in St. Where are we at, Kentucky?
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky, and a little tune-up for that road trip with Pembroke. So
that'll be
hopefully a good barn burner, traditional rival of ours. Had some barn burners with those guys, some heated exchanges.
Oh, yeah.
But that should hopefully be a good one.
Football
team's huge, and they won't be here because it'll be during break. But, that'll be a good measuring stick before we head out and face some of the top teams in the country, because they're ranked 12th. Again, they're a traditional rival of ours, so that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, so just to throw those dates at you, December 18th, 19th, that's going to be Midwest Classic. Then I did jump ahead of myself. We do have number 12 Pembroke at home. All alumni, friends, family, please come. The gym's open.
Football team, please come.
Yeah, Coach Knight, we need you to get the football team out.
In the game.
So, yeah, January 3rd, those guys will be here, and then we head to Kentucky on the 5th to compete on the 6th. actually, we leave – is it the 5th? It's the 6th and 7th. We leave on the 5th to compete on the 6th and 7th in Kentucky. So, got an exciting first half of the year in 2022. Really looking forward to it. So, before we let you guys go, wanted to just kind of – apologize. Last time I kind of mentioned in passing the pin pool, and I didn't really say what the pin pool was.
Right, a little description might help. But, yeah. But hey, we're plugging it. We're figuring it out as we go. But yeah. Pin pool is huge, and it's been a good
fundraiser
for us in the past. And it's off to a great start this year. This might be the best early jump we've ever had. Yeah. Obviously, we did the phone-a-thon, but so. Tell everybody how that works.
Yeah, so basically I like the pin pool because it's a wrestling-focused fundraiser. You know, we're not out selling donuts or washing cars. It's a wrestling-focused fundraiser where our supporters and alumni, they have the opportunity to support by pledging a certain dollar amount per pin. So if Jake wants to say, hey fellas, I want to give you guys a dollar for every pin the team gets this year. If we finish with 90 pins, which is usually traditionally what we finish with, then he'd just, you know, make a gift of 90 bucks. If he gives two, it's 180. I'm not going past three because I'm bad at math. But basically –
I didn't wear flip-flops today, so it's a problem. Yeah.
So you pledge a certain dollar amount per pin, and at the end of the year, we kind of square up and show you how to make that tax-deductible donation. It's broken down into tiers, so you have anything from $1 to $4 is all conference level, and you get certain incentives with that. I think this year one of those incentives is koozie, and then anything from $5 to $9 is an All-American pin pool level pledge, and then anything $10 or more is a national champ pin pool pledge. And we do have, actually, I think this year I want to say we got about 4 national champion members, so five national champion members. And if you don't mind, I do want to shout those guys out, so I'm gonna look that up really quick.
Absolute shout out to the people. Listen, everybody has a role.
Let's put Jake on the spot right now. Yeah. For pin pool.
I think I'm in. I don't remember what my pledge is. I remember I was standing on the mat, and I got a phone call. Fletcher's like, "Hey, Coach Jake, what's up?" I was like, "Listen, dude, I know what you're doing. What do you want? Tell me what you want." He said, "Listen, we're doing this pin pool. We have about 90 pins. I need to pledge money." I said,
"That's
how
he talks to.
I'm in." Yep. I said, "Listen, I'm in. Just send me the stuff. Let me know what it is." Okay. I was like, "But I got to go teach these single legs. I got to go buy."
Nice. I like it. Shout out to John Lopez. He used to be an athletic trainer here at Newberry. He's a national champion member. And in John Dickman, Robert and Mary Beth Parker, Rodney Boland, and Scott Thomas, one of my family members from back in Cleveland, Ohio. Shout out to all of you guys for pledging at such a high level. And all of our Pinpool members. We got 156 different members that have pledged, and we're super grateful for each and every one of you because that's the kind of stuff that helps a program continue to be successful in terms of getting out and traveling to go see higher level competition, being able to go recruit high level talent. We couldn't do that without you guys' support, so thank you. If you would like to pledge, you can just go to our official website, Newberry. What's the name?
Wolves.com.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Always helping me out, picking up slack. NewberryWolves.com. You can go to the pin pool section of our website.
Click the wrestling tab, and then it'll be at the top with schedule, roster, pin pool is one of the options.
Perfect. And from there, it comes to me, kicks me a nice little email on my spreadsheet, and we make sure you're added to that list that's on our website where you can see all the different members listed there. Thank you guys for listening. Next date for the podcast is going to be January 10th, where we recap all the kind of stuff we just had told you that's coming up. And next month, we're looking to bring on another GOAT from Newberry. BJ Young's going to be here.
What's up?
He's out doing some great things in New Jersey right now, coaching on the JUCO circuit. So excited to tell you guys about that.
That's fantastic.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you, Jake.
Hey, you're the man, dude. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Enjoyed it.